Previously on Adventure.
There's only one thing in the chest. A flat silver disc. Lee collapses again, her eyes white, and she says, "Listen with the witch-a woman." And yeah, so now we're off, heading down the path to the swamp. It's the size of a small lake. So you guys have now reached the edge, and you've met back up with Henley. You hear this giant sucking sound from behind you. You see these two whites.
I'd like to get out of the swamp and throw both my daggers in this fucker's eyes.
Hey, where'd you meet your wife? Blonde date?
So I'm just going to hit him with my warhammer.
In my mind, you're actually, like, you do like a spinning thing. Then he falls down face first in the muck. Dead.
Yeah! I want to go look at the one that's on the bank. I just want to give him a little pat down, see if he's carrying anything good.
But you find a little bag of money, a little 20 gold pieces.
I'm going to give 10 of my gold to Julian.
What the actual fuck?
Henley, what would you have done with that 20 gold? Because I seem to remember you eating all the jerky to yourself.
You're never going
to
give up the jerky, are you?
Yes.
Revenge, a dish best served cold.
It was more room temperature, to be honest.
All right, so much closer now is that light. It looks like it's the end of this path that's set up in front of you. Mm-hmm. So you want to head towards that house?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But can we, Henley, do you want to sneak up there and see if you can see anything before we get too close? Can we, like, walk?
The path is pretty long. It's like 100 feet. Well, can we walk, 200 feet.
Can we walk to the point where
then
Henley can go sneak?
Totally. All totally, right, yeah.
So let's take a little wander.
Therese, it would be my pleasure to do that for you. It would just cost you 5 gold pieces.
Well, how about you just walk up there and don't sneak and see what happens? Maybe another arrow in the shoulder.
Yeah, or maybe a ray of frost up your...
Or maybe I'll give you 5 gold pieces. Wait, what?
Henley's great at managing money.
Yeah, exactly. You're not very good at negotiating, Henley, I gotta say.
I said duck season, now fire.
Now in trouble.
So you're going to start walking this very long path, and it becomes the same situation as before you got to the swamp. It's like you're in a tunnel. And as you're walking, the mist is now higher. The mist is almost up at your shoulders. You can barely see above it. It's almost like you're walking through the soup. And in the trees next to you on the right and the left, you see these lights blink on and off, and you can hear low murmurs and whispering, and as they reach your ears, it's almost as if they're calling to you, asking you to come off the path, go into the woods, that there's something great there for you. They're playing on your basest desires and your wants, and they want to drag you away off into this because there's something great waiting for you. And I want to ask, I'm going to do Henley last on this
one.
Yeah,
yeah. I was going to say, Henley seems to be the one that would be a little more susceptible to this than anyone else. Yeah.
Let's start with you, Thrace. What are you imagining is waiting for you in these woods that's so tempting for you to walk out to?
The approval of all my peers and my dragon kin.
So what, like a big kind of round table of all your family?
Yeah, I got daddy issues.
Yeah,
you know, like, I know.
It's a central figure of your character.
Yeah, there's my, you know, my parents and my siblings, and I'm not the runt of the litter anymore. I'm being welcomed home with, you know, loving arms and admiration for my adventures and my, you know, I'm now the noble warrior rather than the runt of the litter.
What's waiting for you in those woods? It could be a person, it could be a thing, it could be just something you'd love to see.
Home. Safeway home.
What would that look like to you?
Is this out loud for others
no, this
to
is,
hear?
No, this is in your head.
Okay,
but this is
head.
For our listeners to hear.
It is rather like some of the images that have turned up in our arcane visions of other things.
You're missing that place.
Dreadfully missing and have been for quite some time.
All right. Henley, what's waiting for you in those woods?
It's a bunch of boobs and some gold.
Yeah, no one could have followed that. So, yes, that's perfect.
I mean, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Henley or Brian?
I'm wrong. Which, I'm wrong. It's a bunch of gold and some boobs.
Just floating boobs, or
I don't want to be greedy. I mean,
yeah, he doesn't care if they're attached to faces.
Could there be golden boobs?
Oh my god, that's a brilliant idea.
It's two treats in one.
So waiting for Thrace is acceptance and love, and her father waiting there. For Julian, it's a safe way home. It's a place where a way he can walk back to where he came from, and for Henley, it's golden boobs.
That I think encapsulates our team.
Yeah.
It really
meet the team. Yeah.
It really, really does. So in order to see this for what it is, I need you guys to make an insight check, which plays off your wisdom, which I think is going to be a problem for some of you.
Is this a 20?
D20, yeah.
Oh, please do something good.
10.
Plus insight. So insight is on the little guys over there, Bob.
It
it's
is
near the
2.
With plus 2.
And then plus the wisdom modifier?
Yeah.
So it's 2 plus 3, so it's 5 plus 5. 10, so 15.
15, actually 16, because now those are all plus 3.
Oh,
all
right.
The ones
yes.
are bubbled
oh,
in.
Right. Yep.
So 16 for you. That's a good number.
Yeah,
what about you, Henley?
Ooh, okay. I'm not terrible. A 16.
Ah.
But then I wind up with 2 negatives there, so it's a 14.
What do you mean 2? Why do you have negative 2?
Well, because in my skills, I have negative 1.
Oh,
for
no,
insight.
that's just shorthand for you saying like you know you have negative 1 in this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So then it's a 15.
Yeah, okay, cool. So 15, with all of those scores, those are good rolls. good for you guys. You are able to see through this farce, and you can make out through the mist that these are will-o'-wisps moving through the darkness. They won't come to the path, they're staying off, but they continue to call to you, but now those calls sound hollow, and you can see the artifice in what they're doing.
I did miss that.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Oh, daddy.
Wait a minute. There are no boobs, no gold.
Not here.
Yes, just keep walking up that path, Henley. There's golden boobs at the end of it, I promise.
We'll
What a crock.
I like that he's the one that's most disappointed out of all of us.
You are now about to hit the end of the path. So, and then it opens back up, and through it, from just what you're seeing, you can see a small house, two lights are on, and there's a path leading up, a little gate. It looks actually very nice, but it's sitting on the end of this path, and in the swamp. If you go any further at this point, whoever is in there might be able to see you if they're looking out for something.
Who's the stealthy one here?
Henley, do you want to go sneak a look?
Could be gold. Could be boobs.
I have it on good authority that whoever lives in there has golden boobs.
You had me at golden.
Or at boobs.
Yeah.
I'll go.
All right.
Sneak up there. Go take a look in the window.
So I'm going to roll for...
Yeah, roll stealth.
For stealth?
Yeah.
It's a 7, so that it's a 2, so 9.
So with a 9, I mean, you're not super stealthy. let's be honest. You walk out of the woods and you start to creep up, and you know nothing comically big happens. You're not tripping over your feet. You're not falling over the gate.
But drool on the window.
But you know when you push yourself over that gate, it's not absolutely silent. There's a creak of the fence post, and a small twig snaps under your feet as you walk up towards the window. It's not a very loud sound, but in this nearly deadly quiet, and that's one of the things you notice now here. You don't hear that soft sound of bugs anymore.
Oh,
it's gotten completely dead silent, and when that twig makes that little snap, it to you it feels like it rings out across the entire clearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're trying to be quiet, and you know, you put the glass down too hard, or the glass falls over, the plastic glass falls over, and it sounds like the whole house has just been woken up, and that's what it sounds like to you, Henley. But you're at the window now, and you're peering in, correct?
Absolutely.
So when you peer in this window, it's a sitting room. There's a dusty couch against one wall. there's another wall that has a desk. Has all sorts of strange equipment that you've never seen before, Henley. You can't really make out at all what these things are.
It doesn't look like anything to me.
Exactly. And Brian, you figured out my whole twist, the whole thing. And then sitting in a rocking chair is an old woman who has a cloth, almost like it looks like a blindfold around her eyes, it's tattered and it's dirty. It's covering her eyes, and she's dressed in a white dress that's also tattered, with long gray hair.
This is the last person Henley threw daggers in the arms of.
It's his mother.
As you look in the window, her head turns and looks exactly to where you are looking through the window.
But and she's got a blindfold on.
She does. She does have a blindfold on.
That's still fucking terrifying.
And she puts up one old bony hand and beckons for you to enter the house.
Go. I'm going in.
All right.
I'm motioning to Thrace and Julian to tell him just hold back. Like
you can motion all you.
Yes, Thrace and Julian are both going. Go on. Off you go. We'll be right here.
I'm just saying, stay where you are. Stay, you know.
Wow. He may have turned a new leaf.
Or he knows the lady and they're running a long con.
Ah, could be.
He's got a briefcase full of money.
Yeah.
So, Brian, are you going to walk around to the door and enter?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'll think this bird my house in gold. Yeah, I'll walk around to the door.
Henley, you open the door, and do you walk in, or what do you want to do?
I walk straight in like I own the place.
Okay.
I would have thought you'd use the knocker at the front door.
Nice, Bob. Nice one.
So when you walk in, there's a small entryway, and then right after your left is the opening to that room, and you can see the old woman. She's now turned her chair to look straight at you.
Ooh. Okay.
And
scarier as we
go. She still has the cloth covering her eyes. Yeah.
Yes, she has the cloth covering her eyes, and she puts another finger up and points to the right over your right shoulder.
My injured shoulder.
I was going to say,
over it, though, like behind it.
All right, so I turn behind me, I look behind me.
And there's a sign that says, "What were you raised in a barn?"
No, there isn't, really.
That's great.
Told you should have knocked.
I mean, I was, but don't go tell me twice. And I just slam the door.
You slam the door, and as soon as the door closes, she speaks to you. And she says, "Please tell your friends to join us."
I don't know what you're talking about, lady. I'm here alone.
The Dragonborn and the Wizard, please tell them to join us.
Ooh, yeah. Crone voice. Oh, scary. Okay.
Now, can we actually hear her?
No, I got, you can't hear her.
Right. No, so we're
Bobby,
just gonna,
I'm not
we're
kidding. I got like
here.
A shiver down my spine right there. And not because I'm actually scared, because you're just fucking weird. You're Me doing your Jack yeah. Black voice is what you're doing.
Yeah.
A ring a goo goo. All right.
Me and Julian are just outside playing like Cat's Cradle. Or
something. Yeah. Is he done yet?
I have no idea what you're talking about, lady. I came here on my own accord.
I cannot continue until you join us. So if you want your friend Lee to wake back up, please tell them to join us.
How do you know about Lee?
Oh, I'm well acquainted with Lee.
I mean, I'm still here alone. Damn it!
God, Henley.
You're not fooling anyone, Henley.
Oh, that's bloody weird. Oh, I'll be right back. So I go out the front door and I just start like.
Do you close the door on your way out?
No, I keep the door absolutely wide open, 100%. I motion towards Julian and Thrace to big arm movements, like get your asses over here.
No.
Why should we?
Hey! You sent me all the way bloody over here. I'm telling you. Oh,
fine.
Look, my cover's blown.
Alright, we're coming, Henley.
Just a bit of fun.
Calm down. Yeesh. We're on our way. Alright, we're going in.
Okay.
Thank you. Bloody Christ.
We're both going to leave the door open, though.
We'll leave it. Don't that joke yet, Jackie.
Well, that's why they're going to leave the door open.
Yeah. Right.
So you guys walk in. You leave the door open behind you. And the woman with the blindfold is just staring at you. Just staring at you. And she looks to Julian and to Thrace. She's not speaking. And then she turns and just... You can't see her eyes, Henley, but you know she's staring daggers through you.
Okay.
And then she looks towards the door. And then back at you with the daggers.
Thrace, I mean, come on. Look behind me. Come on.
I think... Seriously. Yeah. You left the door open, Henley.
What were you guys in a barn? Shut the door.
You shut the door.
I'll shut the door, okay?
Children. Julian, always a man of grace.
So as soon as the door shuts, she says, come in, sit down.
All right.
So the three of you are going to come in and sit down? There's a little couch?
Sure.
Do we have to do an investigation check on the couch?
The three of us are on one couch together?
Yeah, totally.
I am really big, just to warn you.
You're all comically packed into this little, like, couch.
The couch is leaning to one side.
All Thrace's weapons are just...
My armor and Lee. Yeah, this whole couch is, like, collapsing on one side.
And when she sits down, she says, tell me, where is Lee? I don't see her.
She's here, this lump underneath my armor.
Oh, how,
I'm keeping her safe.
How novel. Was that Lucas who figured that out?
How do you know this much about us?
I've been watching all of you for a long, long time.
Toodles! It's not you,
you
again, is it?
You can't even see anything through that cloth on your face. Are you watching anything?
You don't need eyes to see, dear Henley. And no, I am not Mr. Toodles, as you call him. I believe you're speaking of Henrique.
Yes.
Henrique.
He has a habit of tricking us.
Repeatedly.
Yes. With the word toodles.
He is trouble.
What do you know of him?
I'm so sorry. He needs to be a villain named Mr. Toodles.
That's his second name, right? Yes, Toodles.
You guys can refer refer him to that all the time if you want.
Mr. Toodles. I still don't know about
Mr. Henrique Toodles.
It's true. Well, you know about the first time.
Right.
Yeah. Henrique. He was once a good boy, but I think you two know all about that.
Mm-hmm.
How was that little adventure of yours, by the way?
Slightly disconcerting.
Yes.
We had the Jumping. Opportunity to change the future for the better, but unfortunately did not take it.
Sometimes...
We had a
that's
visit.
Why he's still here.
Sometimes it's tough to change the future. Mm. It's always trying to change itself back, but I'm sorry for that jarring incident. I just wanted you two to see.
That was you that did that to us?
Yes. Yes.
You probably could have just invited us here and tell us you were going to do that.
I wish I could have done that, but you see, Henrique is a very powerful, powerful magic wielder, and he surveils almost all magical avenues of communication, and that was all that was at my disposal. Thankfully, when you walked into that cave, there's a cutoff in the magical communication that I was able to, for a moment, show you something.
But
I'm afraid it almost backfired, as I know you, Thrace, got a little lost. That was not my doing.
Oh.
That was not my doing.
So who did that?
That, I would say, would be Mr. Toodles.
Mr. Toodles. Damn you, Toodles.
It was just Toodles, eh?
You know who Mr. Toodles is.
Well, he is the man you knew as Sildar Hallwinter. The fake Sildar Hallwinter. The real Sildar Hallwinter, unfortunately, is very dead.
He's been very dead
for a long time.
Oh. So we never did meet the Mr.
You
the
didn't,
real
You did
Sildar.
Not meet the Mr. the real Mr. Sildar Hallwinter. He was a good man, a brave man.
Hmm. We'll do this in his honor then.
What's your name?
My name is Lujan.
Oh.
Yes.
Is that with a J-A-N or a Z-H-A-N?
It's a J-A-N. I do love your little quirk about always asking how people spell their names, Henley.
Henley, how do you spell your own name? Just for fun.
Me?
A-S-S.
J. wait, no. All right. Yeah, it's... It doesn't matter, Julian.
Okay, I'm just checking.
You hear the sound of the lake lapping. As you enter the shore.
That's Lu Xun's fingers creaking.
Henrik is a complicated person.
Yes, we've seen his complexity, sadly.
And I will give you a piece of advice about Henrik.
Yes.
Never assume that you know what he wants or what he's trying to do.
Oh. Do you know anything about what he's trying to do?
I know very much what you know. He's trying to collect these three magical items. He's seen the power of what the other world can do, and he wants to use that here to conquer.
What other world?
There is another world. There are many other worlds, but I believe your trip to the cave produced one such item from that world.
Yes.
They appeared here long ago, and they are items that in their world mean nothing. They're trivial. They're everyday, commonplace items. But here, they hold great power. There is something about the transfer from that world to this world that bestows upon anything or anyone great magical power.
Mm.
And I believe Henrik wants to use that power to rule this world.
Now, how can we believe everything you tell us?
You should not believe everything I tell you.
Well, that is the least helpful thing you possibly could have said.
Yes.
You're going to have to decide who to trust and who not to trust for yourselves.
Does anybody have a purple sombrero handy? I've heard they're helpful.
I just came upon that. I have to find it again.
I turn around to see Julian suddenly wearing a purple sombrero. On the couch.
Yes, sure. Did I hit you with my sombrero?
He's poking me in the eye with a purple sombrero right now.
It gives the wearer the ability to discern one lie or dispel one magical illusion. Can be used again once the wearer takes a long rest.
Okay.
That's a...
How about you ask her if we can trust that her intentions towards us are good? And then see if that's true.
Lu Xun.
I love your hat, by the way.
It's just sparkling.
It's a lovely shade of purple.
Well, with my
cloak.
Don't
let her trick you. Don't let her use that power to see whether she really likes your hat or not.
We could make
tricky.
That's definitely something Henley would do.
We need to find out something.
Yes.
Your last statement gives us pause.
Hmm.
Are your intentions toward helping us honest ones? In essence, are you telling us the truth about what we might face and what is to come?
I am telling you the truth. That I can promise you.
Okay.
There's something terrible coming. Both from Henrik and from whatever Henrik is so scared of. Because a man does not seek such power so quickly unless he is scared of something. And I will say that, as I said, this is a dangerous situation because he can monitor almost any way I can communicate with you once you're not here. This is a safe place, but once you're not here, I don't know how... There are not many ways I communicate with you. One of such ways is Henrik has an odd thing about him. I don't know how it happened, but Henrik cannot understand music. He cannot process it. He cannot understand it. So sometimes I may be able to speak with you through music, as you saw with young Lee.
Is there any way you can help us to wake Lee up?
We need Lee awake. Is that a
possibility?
Because
to be honest, I'm not sure how much longer I can carry her around in this baby Bjorn armor set.
Can you let her out, please?
Sure. Creak.
Okay, and she falls out on the floor. And Lu Xun says, "You can come out now." And out of a closet behind Lu Xun, a spectral version of Lee comes out. And she says, "Oh, thank you so much."
Hey everybody, it's your Dungeon Master, Bobby Shortle, back here once again. Thank you so much for listening to Adventure. This was episode 2 and the finale of our interlude, Witchy Woman. I hope you're enjoying it so far, and you're enjoying our trip into the swamp.
I know it's personally one of my favorite episodes, I think, so far, so I'm pumped for you to finish listening to it. Big thanks to Justin Riley for all his sound effects and sound engineering work. The show would not be the same without him, and he really busted his ass to get this one done in time, so I really appreciate it. Big thanks. Big thanks to Battle Bards and Tabletop Audio, which Justin uses for a lot of the sound effects and soundscapes that are in the show. And a big, huge thanks to all of my players, Brian, Jackie, and Bob. Please make sure you follow us at D&D Adventure on Twitter and tweet about the show using hashtag D&D Adventure, and you could have a character named after you. The witch in this episode named after a listener, and there are many characters coming up who also are. Please leave us a review on iTunes. It's one of the biggest things you can do to help promote the show. It really does more than almost anything else you can do. So even if you don't really use iTunes, please just drop by, leave us a review. It would mean the world to us. I hope everyone had a safe and happy new year. We are going to have an episode up in 2 weeks. It's going to be a little different. It's going to be an intermission between the two halves of our story. And this is going to be a conversation with myself, Brian, and Bob about the show so far, about what our experience is like doing it, any questions about the process of playing Dungeons and Dragons, sort of like a talking adventure, like Talking Dead. And then we'll be back regular scheduled back on our adventure, I guess you could say. So yeah, remember, at D&D Adventure on Twitter, adventure at talkingcombooks.com is where you can send emails if you'd like. And most of all, thank you to everyone who has listened and left feedback. You're all amazing. It was crazy when we started this, having none of us having played it before, and now that we're so far in, or this far in, it seems like we can never live without it. So, and that big part of that is due with you guys. So thank you for listening. We hope we keep bringing you a great show, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Let's get back to it.
This is where you've been hiding, Lee?
Lujan has been telling me about the dangers we face and how I can be of help to you along the way. I will return to my body now. And she goes back into her body, and these eyes open up, and she looks very groggy, and the woman tells her to have a seat and to relax, because it's going to take a while for the kind of spectral shock to come off of her. And she pushes you all down a little bit more on the couch and sit next to you.
A quick little side note. I really hope this whole thing leads to Bobby having to sing to us in Lee's voice every pertinent plot point. I really hope that's where this is going.
I don't think I have a spell for that, but I'll try that if I can find
Lee, how are you feeling?
Oh, I feel weird, but I feel good. I'm glad. I'm so happy Gundren is safe.
Yes.
We have the item. We were successful.
Yes.
It was good. So back to the business at hand. Do you have that item?
Which item is that?
The disc that you found.
Oh, that. Yes.
Julian, yeah. You have it.
Yes.
Show Lee the disc.
Oh, really?
Yes. Julian.
Okay.
Yeah.
We won't be if it weren't for her. And she's still got two hands. Thank you very much.
So Lee takes the disc out of your hand and hands it to Lujan. And Lujan turns it over in her hands. And she stands up and walks over to that weird equipment on the desk and pushes what looks like a button on that equipment, and a tray slides out. And she puts the disc in the tray and she closes it. And on this rectangular thing, light emanates, and there's a blinking cursor, and she says, "Do you want to see what this can do?"
Do we?
Thank you. I definitely do.
So go look out that window right there.
Okay.
So you guys walk over the window, you look, and as you look, you see 10 banshees coming screaming towards the hut.
Yeah.
I don't want to see
what's on a cracker.
So let.
Do they all have golden boobs, though?
No, no golden boobs. Oh. Sorry. Sorry, Henley. She goes, well, let's start the show. And she pushes a button. And for a moment, nothing happens. And then this rumbling starts to occur. And then you see out of this black rectangle that's bolted the side of her house, a wave of blue energy come flying out. And it encompasses the entire clearing in which the house is in on all sides. And it passes through the banshees. And when it stops, they're all gone.
Ooh. What was that?
That was weird.
This item is incredibly powerful. There's only a few ways to use it. And this isn't even where it's meant to be used. The other items you seek, when they are combined, will create a weapon whose power is unmatched. You must keep these safe. You must make sure that they do not fall into the wrong hands. But you cannot destroy them just with your own hands. There's one place to take them. But unfortunately, all I know is that place will be revealed after you have taken the third item. The way will be revealed to you.
Huh. Bobby, you gotta say it again, but you gotta say, keep this secret, keep this safe.
No, I'm not gonna do that.
Bastard.
She takes it out of the tray and hands it back to you, Julian. She then picks up off of the table a small rectangular item that she shows you folds open and folds back closed. When it folds open, it has what looks like a bunch of tiny buttons on it and a little screen on the top, much like a much smaller version of the screen you just saw her looking at before. And she hands that to Henley.
Henley, can I see that?
Was that a wise move?
I believe Mr. Littlepeen is the right person for this item.
Are you sure about that?
I am sure.
I've never heard anyone call him Mr. Littlepeen. It's great.
We're going to part ways very, very soon. Do you have any more questions for me before we do? I don't know the next time we'll see each other.
I just want you... Can you look at my hands, please?
Uh-huh.
You see anything weird?
About your hands?
Yeah.
No.
What about his hands and her hands?
No.
Because earlier you said... I'm sorry, Julian said that you gave us paws.
Oh, my God. I knew there was a really bad joke coming. That's so much worse than
I just
want to
make sure that I'm seeing... I gave it to you.
Oh, God.
It kills me. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, Miss Lujan, can I just fry him here? Yes. Would you mind?
We apologize that you asked for our one last question and that was it.
I'll use at least one hand
for things.
You're going to need at least... You're going to need Mr. Littlepeen on your adventure.
Can we trust each other?
That's for you to know. I cannot give you that. I cannot see into your hearts. I can only see the things that you've done and the things that... the possibilities of what you may do. I know this adventure cannot be completed without the three of you.
All right. Well, let's get trucking then.
Yes. Which...
We make one hell of a team, don't we? Thrice and... Jelly and...
As we move forward, are there signs we should look for?
There will be many signs along the way. You know of the three pillars, of course. That is his symbol, his sigil. Wherever it is, there is danger and deception somewhere very close.
What about safe areas?
Where Phandalin, where Gizmodo is incredibly safe. You are safe there. Feel free to roam, feel free to do whatever you like.
Do you know anything about that big explosion?
In Neverwinter?
Yes.
I have a feeling you'll find out very soon what that is about. Oh. But I can tell you that that was Henrique's doing.
What you mean you have a feeling we'll find out soon? You've known every bloody thing about us thus far. You know everything about us. So why don't you just tell us what you know?
It's one possibility that you could end up there. It's another possibility that you could end up somewhere else.
It's past my fist lands in your face. Hey!
All right, I think it's time to leave.
Yes,
Henley?
Yeah, let's pack him up and go. Lee,
can't take him anywhere.
No.
So how are you going to communicate with us?
You have a very lovely help.
The device that I handed Henley...
Yes.
allows me to communicate with you. It also has another handy dandy trick that I think you will enjoy. So you will not have to trudge back through the swamp to get back to Phandalin. Henley, can you please open that device?
Henley's trying and not knowing how it opens and being very inept.
It just opens on hinges, dear. Just hold the one side and open it from the other.
It's really hard to do with paws, though.
Yeah, true.
Hurry up, Don Amici, will you?
I got it.
Okay. Very good. Now, simply hit the number one.
One.
That set of crosshatches on the bottom right.
I see him.
And now hit the green button.
Julian.
The green. Green. The opposite of red.
That's not one! True. I'm a little colorblind. Could you just... I don't want to hit the wrong button.
She's one that I'm pointing to.
Julian is pointing to
the
button.
Are you finger blind? You nincompoop.
All right. I hit what I believe to be green.
I'm going to hit you.
And as you do, once you hit it, you feel yourselves moving without moving. And you hear Lujan's voice one more time. She says, I will contact you when it is the right time. And all of a sudden, for a moment, existence is blinked out, and then it blinks back in, and you're standing in front of Sammy's Treat Yourself Emporium in Phandalin.
Whoa. All right. That was weird.
So now we know how she was doing all the other stuff there.
Sammy! My man!
Lee says, I'm gonna go check on Gundren, but I'll see you guys again, I promise.
Okay, Lee.
And she runs off. On the screen, on the device that you're still holding, Henley, you see it says 1, Phandalin, 2, the swamp. It says 3, Neverwinter, 4, the castle.
Castle. Which castle?
They don't know yet, do you?
White castle.
Okay,
yeah.
We're not supposed to know what castle.
You're not supposed to know yet. And you're not there for about a minute before Sammy comes busting out of the doors and he goes, well, howdy, guys!
Sammy, how you doing?
Sammy, my man.
I'm doing wonderful. How are you? How was the adventure?
Very adventurous.
What's up, you beautiful twat?
I don't even know what to say anymore,
how to
Henley.
Win friends that's and like influence
a,
people.
That's a nicety from your people, right?
Absolutely,
Henley?
Yes.
Sure, why not?
So, I would assume you guys want to do some shopping.
Absolutely, Sammy.
That'll be a good time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Did you get a discount this time around?
Oh, cool. Brian, how much money do you have, by the way? I know you were low.
I wasn't that low.
I think you were lower than Bob or Jack.
I was. I have currently... Oh, yeah, I'm low. I have 78 gold pieces.
When you walk into Sammy's, he says, oh, I got a gift here from Gizmoto. And he hands you each a bag of 30 gold pieces.
Ooh, money, money, money.
I knew I liked that bloke.
So we got a lot of items today. We got some new stuff. I kept some old stuff. I hope you've all been enjoying your stuff that you bought here last time.
I'm still wearing my hat.
I see the sombrero. It looks sharp on you, Julian. It looks very, very sharp.
Just got us through a tough patch.
Henley, did you make any use of those crime scene investigation spectacles?
I certainly did. They definitely gave me some insight.
Sadly, I used them to look in after he went to the lavatory and the walls were just hideous.
It was like a Jackson Pollock painting.
Yes, exactly.
Tara stole that joke. Stole that joke. Every one of our listeners knows you stole that joke.
But apparently, Gunn stole the joke from himself. Like, there's a similar joke in Chomeo and Juliet that
he
just ripped himself off. So,
yeah.
So yeah, we got a nice list. I'm going to run down the names really quick, and then we can go deeper with the stuff that you folks are interested in buying from me today.
Go deeper.
We've got the... God.
He makes everything sound so dirty.
Yeah. We've got the Boots of Stridden and Springin. We got the Bracer of Badassness. We've got the Potion of Flying. The Jar of Insults, which special produced by Talon Bray. We got Cry Me a River, which... and the Perfect Knot, which both come from Mr. Advantage. It's a great company. The Top Hat of Eloquent Dirty Talk. I think Mr. Espinosa. The product comes from him. We've got some new Suvok. We got Suvok's Truth Serum in the house today. And we've got a couple weapons. We got the Dragon Glaive, we got the Bladed Quarterstaff, and we got the Bladed Boomerang.
Hmm.
So, yeah, we got some nice items for y'all today. So, let's see. I think this time around, we should roll real quick to see who's going to get to pick first.
So I just rolled a 9.
10.
11. You sons of bitches.
Oh, my goodness. All right. All right, so I think, Julian, you're up first.
Well,
what's got your eye?
I must have the jar of insults.
All right. The jar of insults. Insults
just as right up my alley.
So what we'll do is we're going to do one at a time. We'll go around, keep going around. So the jar of insults, which is costing 50 gold pieces. Okay. So
I'll give you 60.
It's not a haggling environment right now.
Burning hands, Hendley. Burning hands.
I'll give you 40.
Again, terrible negotiation skills.
The jar of insults, which is Talon Bray. It's from Talon Bray.
Thank you, Talon.
When opened, it creates a whirlwind of insults that knocks the target down for one turn. So that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Someone's going to come up with insults every time you use it. So that's going to be an interesting situation.
Your mom is so poor.
I will say that just be careful because it's always going to knock down your opponent, but it might insult you as well.
Just equal opportunity insult. Yeah, it's not discriminatory. Around, yeah.
Not discriminatory with its insults. So just watch out for that. All right, so next up, I think we got Thrice.
Yeah, all right. I got my eye on the Dragon Glaive.
I would have thought so, yeah.
Oh, that is right up my alley.
So the Dragon
Glaive is going to be right up someone else's alley.
At the end of a 6-foot mahogany staff is an 18-inch serrated blade.
Oof.
This is a two-handed weapon, does 1d10 damage, and has a reach of 10 feet.
Yes, please, Mr. Sammy.
And I will say too, that pulls off your strength modifier, so you get to add your strength bonus to that.
Oh boy.
Mr. Lopine, last but certainly not least.
Really? All right, I'm used to being least. This is great. I would like the bladed quarterstaff, please.
Ooh. Really? The bladed quarterstaff?
Why you say that?
No, I'm just saying.
You thought I was going to take... What's your problem, Sammy? I want what I want. I am what I am.
Oh, God.
The bladed quarterstaff. All right, so it's a knotted pine staff that does 1d6 damage, but has a slot for a dagger that will incorporate the damage of that weapon when it's joined with it.
I'll lock my daggers.
Okay.
He's very particular.
Apparently. That's 20 gold pieces, so take that out of your money's there. Julian, is there anything else you'd like?
Yes, I fancy this bladed boomerang idea.
Ah, that's one of my...
Oh, Mr. Moneybags, go ahead.
One of my favorite items is the bladed boomerang. This is a boomerang with a serrated edge that can be thrown, make a ranged attack. If the hit is successful, it does 2d6 damage. Target must make a DC 12 dexterity saving throw or will take an additional 1d6 damage on your next turn when the boomerang returns to you.
Yes. Yeah, see, I just like that idea. It works twice.
And it might be good because you won't have to use spells every single time.
Yes. Keeps them at a distance.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It has a range of 60 feet, I should say. So there you go. I didn't write that in there before. All right. Thrace, anything else for you?
Yes, indeed. Would you like me to say it in English or American?
English.
Okay, I would like the Bracer of Bad Arseness, please.
And can I have the American version?
I would like the Bracer of Bad Assness, please.
Okay. The Bracer of Badness, one of my favorite items in the entire grouping. Black obsidian bracer that gives +3 to unarmed strikes and lets the wearer use dual-handed weapons with one hand.
Whoa.
And allows them to attack magical barriers. This cannot be removed once it's worn.
Oh.
So it's bonded to you forever.
I will take it.
All right. Bracer of badassness. Off to you. All right. So the bracer's off the board. The jar of insults is off the board. What else? The dragon glaive and all three of the weapons, I think, are off the board.
Yep.
You guys are going in for the weapons. All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. Henley.
Bobby, there's. I do love the emoji, but there's no pricing for the top hat of eloquent dirty talk.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Wait, advantage when taking time swings your way. Okay. That's easy. Let's make that 20 gold pieces. Thought I wrote that in.
Do I have the option of buying more than one thing right now? Probably not, right?
You can only buy one hat, Henley.
That's fine. That's fine.
Well, you have to ask your fellow shoppers.
Julian, are you purchasing any other items?
Depends. Are you?
Well, it's my turn. I'm definitely going to buy one. I just want to know if you're going to do any more than one.
Let's check with the lady. Thrace, is your shopping done? I wouldn't want this thing.
No,
to...
I'm going to buy one more.
Oh, that's fine. Here's my question for you.
Yes.
Yes.
It's for Sammy, not you.
We're involved. Don't worry.
Suvox Serum of Truth. No, it will force the drinker to tell you the answer to one question. It's a one-time use, but I can only buy one, right? I can't have more than one of those in my inventory.
No, you can buy more than one.
At 15.
All right. It's good to know.
Did you read the description carefully, Henley? I know reading is...
force the drinker to tell you the answer to one question.
Does it say one time use, close parentheses?
And how is it spelled?
Spell parentheses. Henley. Does it say anywhere there the correct answer to?
You can trust Mr. Suvok, all right? It's not a trick question. It's not a trick item.
I'm just trying to help you. Henley.
I'm not out there. I'll tell you, people might try to sell you trick items. Okay. I'm not going to sell you any trick items.
Henley would sell you a trick item.
Oh, for sure.
I'm going to buy one. I'm going to buy one Serum of Truth.
Why don't you try it out? We'll ask you a question.
Hilarious.
All right. So, Julian, anything else you want to buy?
No, I'm done. Thank you.
You're all done with your shopping. Thrace.
Can I ask you a question, Sammy?
Lay a question, Emma.
The perfect knot, a rope that never comes untied, one use. Mm-hmm. So I assume once I tie it to something, that's it. I can't take it with me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, you could tie it around something that's movable and it would never come off around that thing.
You cannot untie it once it's tied.
Yeah, no.
How long is it?
How long is it?
How long is that piece of rope?
I don't know, how long is a decent piece of rope?
Exactly.
Enough to wrap around six feet.
To be fair, I don't want to pay like 30 gold pieces for a 4-foot piece of rope. You know, that never comes untied.
Let's say 8 feet.
8 feet? Yeah. 8 feet's not great. It's not swinging
let's
across
say
a canyon.
Feet. Why don't you get out a measuring tape and figure out how long that rope is? It's raw air. I can see the rope.
There's a difference between a 60-foot piece of rope. Very handy. 8 feet,
very
maybe
handy.
Not so much. You know.
In fact, sorry, that's it's one gold piece per 2 feet. If it was 60 feet,
that's by the foot.
You know what, Thrace?
Yes.
You're right. That's not a very good deal. And I pride myself here having good deals.
Thank you, Sammy. Thank you.
All right. So he goes back.
Why not being haggling in negotiation?
He brings out a 20-foot rope and puts it in, replaces it.
All right. Yeah, I'll take it then.
All right.
20-foot piece of rope.
You're right. Perfect knot for you. That's 30 gold pieces.
Okay.
Last but not least, Henley, anything else you'd like?
I want to understand right now how this rope just got 250% of its length. But, I don't want to buy it, is what she was saying. And then you're like, I guess it's a magic rope. It just gets bigger.
No, I went in the back and got a new rope. Maybe you should pay attention.
Henley, have you been drinking again?
I cannot confirm or deny.
Is it he stashes that stuff?
The
moonshine.
Henley.
The Espinosa brand top hat of eloquent dirty talk. I'll get advantage when talking to anyone who swings my way. Now, there's nothing literal about swings, right? Just anyone I'll talk to. I can use it anytime I want.
Well,
to get advantage.
It just means that they have to be of your. They have to be attracted to you sexually.
Well, that may be something you never end up using then.
Or the possibility.
Check, please. All set.
Yeah, as soon as you say my name's Lil Peen. No.
All right,
unless
so that's
it's
it.
Opposite day.
You're all done? So
I'm all done. Unless, of course, any one of you wants to loan me 27 gold pieces because I like to fly.
Not so much. Honestly, all you're going to do is fly in the opposite direction to where we need you to go. So, no, I'm not going to give you money.
I think that's
to do
a little
that.
Disingenuous. It's a word that it's pretty big for me. I'm impressed by myself that I used it. But,
spell it, Henley.
Dis.
Good start. It might be worth lending them money. Watch him fall.
Yeah,
no,
so
we're not lending,
I'm
not lending
I'm
him
right.
money.
Yeah, we don't want that to happen.
All right. So, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Sammy.
It was a good
always
day
a good
shopping.
Deal. Always a good deal.
Thank you very much, Henley. You look a little worse for wear. The rest of you look pretty, pretty fit as a fiddle. You
yeah,
look pretty good.
My shoulders got infected.
Well,
not a single one of you was like, "Would you like some ointment?" Hey,
I offered you Noxzema, as I recall.
Exactly.
Doesn't make any sense in this world, Julian.
All right, so. That's it, I guess. Until next time, until you come back from your next adventure. Remember, same means treat yourself Emporium, tell your friends.
Oh, yeah.
Will
tell
do.
Your friends.
All right. Y'all come back now, you hear?
Sammy, you do anything on consignment?
I think you asked me that last time around. You asked me to put aside the potion of flying, so next time when you showed up, you would buy
no,
it.
No. That's
one of
layaway.
Those.
That's layaway.
Sorry.
Consignment is I'll sell you something and you give me the money once it sells.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. You can sell back your items to me if you would like to
no,
do that.
No, I got this jerky.
No. I'm not buying any regular ass jerky. You have a weapon or a magical item, we could talk about a deal, but
All right.
All right. See you later, guys.
Bye, Sammy.
Good night, Sammy.
So you guys walk out the door, and as you walk out, Lucas comes running up. And he says, "Guys, I'm so glad you're back. I saw Lee. That's awesome. Gizmodo does want to talk to you right away. He's found the last two magical items. He knows where they are. We got to get going."